Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Get you on a Friday. Just kind of hit you. Better wake you up. You better be already awake. It's a Friday. It's a big Friday. It's the first Friday. It's the first weekend in October. Still good weather outside. Still football season's kind of still a little bit fresh and new. Got hockey today. Going to get to that in a minute because it is a full and packed Friday Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Salino Law. Yes, it's a football Friday. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Oh, it's game day today. It's game day tomorrow. It's game day Sunday. Did we ever do Sports Thunder? We should have Josh in here for Sports Thunder. We never even revisited that, did we? You didn't want to do Sports Thunder. You're like, I
no,
can't do that.
No, I said I would, but not alone. I won't do it alone.
No, you don't have to do it alone. Okay, let me set up what we have for you today on a football and hockey Friday. We got this.
The Bills make me want to shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout.
Sean McDermott will be on the program today at about 11 a.m. Now, it could be a little bit earlier, it could be a little bit later, 11 a.m. Sean McDermott, very, very important injury update today for the Bills. We'll find out. I'll get into all that in just a little while. So Sean McDermott comes your way, and then we'll have Patrick Hammer talking about the weekend. If you're out down in Houston, I know some people are making the trip, what it's going to be like. The game's going to have the roof closed, but maybe you're making the trip. How hot and humid is it going to be? You probably want to know that. How about London? We'll talk about that too. But most importantly, Sean McDermott, not to diminish Pat. He's important. Injury update, lots of things to get to on the injury report, and of course, a look ahead to the Houston Texans on Sunday. We're also going to do this today.
You know we're going to win that cup. You know we're going to win that cup.
cup. Oh, yeah. Sabres starting off the quest. Everybody's 0-0, right? I mean, come on. That's the old, remember the commercial after the Super Bowl, and the sun will come out tomorrow, and it said everybody's still 0-0, right? That's what it is. It's a new season. I mean, you can dream, right? You're going to win that cup. You do now have, and then by the way, this song was made when Lindy Ruff was almost actually playing for the Sabres. This was from 74, 75, I believe, when this song came out. A lot of you will remember that, Sabres. They are in Prague taking on the New Jersey Devils. The Sabres have two games from now. Oh, think about this for a second, Josh, okay? It's 10:04 Eastern time right now, right? The Sabres essentially will have the puck dropped on two games in the next 24 hours from now. They play at 1 today, our time, and 10 tomorrow, a.m.
Wow. I'm actually really excited for the 10 o'clock face-off. Like
Saturday 10 o'clock game.
It's so nice. Like, that's like, you know, Jeremy and Joe like watch the Premier League. I don't know if you're into soccer that much, but I'm a huge fan of those times to just start sporting events. Like, waking up in the morning, having breakfast and coffee, and watching some type of sport. It's just, it's so relaxing. I don't know what it is, but it's just nice.
I totally get it. I am not a big soccer fan. I'm not a Premier League person. However, I know what you're talking about because every Saturday morning, my social media timeline is filled with people talking about it. They're like, oh, I wake up and then, I mean, it's Arsenal and Man City and all that, right? I mean, there's just a lot of the people I follow our football fans are also soccer fans, including people at this station, obviously, as you just mentioned. And on Saturday mornings, I'm getting all the, oh, my God. And I keep thinking, when I see it sometimes, I'm like, what are they talking about? Oh, yeah, there's a soccer match on. Right? Like last night. Did you watch last night the baseball game? Did you watch the baseball game last night?
I did not, but I saw the highlights, and man,
so
what
I said, like, okay, here we go. The Mets are going to lose. Let's watch the ninth inning here, and maybe they can get a run around and make this really interesting. And sure enough, they did and wound up winning the game. But Pete Alonso hits that home run, and it's wow, and what a incredible moment, right, for the Mets and their fans, and at that moment in time, people going crazy at Citi Field, just really cool. Anyway, so I tweeted, wow, Alonso, and someone tweeted back at me, context, please. They had no idea what I was talking about, and that's what I mean. You never know, right? Like, just because you're on social media and you're a sports fan doesn't mean you know everything going on in sports in that moment. And I get why people would say, how could you not know the Mets and Brewers are playing as Pete Alonso? Well, you might not know, right? Maybe this person follows 10 people and it's all Bills reporters. I don't know, right? And they don't care about baseball. It's like, context, please. Well, Pete Alonso just hit a massive home run to essentially wind up winning the game. By the way, the Brewers came up. They got a guy on. Great double play by Lindor. And now the Mets are moving on to take on the Phillies. Mets, Phillies, Padres, Dodgers. That should be interesting. American League, Guardians taking on the Tigers. Oof, Tigers are hot. And, of course, the Yankees at home to the Kansas City Royals starting on Saturday. So that's tomorrow. And I'll be in Houston for that game. The Bills take on the Houston Texans Sunday at 1 p.m. I say I'll be in Houston because we'll fly to Houston tomorrow for the game. I'm going to have to belly up somewhere. I love my buddy John Harris. You guys had him on the show, right? He was great. John's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's so good.
Yeah. Sideline reporter for the Texans. He's a huge Astros fan. And honestly, like, he's given me so much crap over the last few years because of the Astros over the Yankees. And I'm not going to say anything to... I can. We've texted back and forth, but it would have been a little, like, I was kind of dreading if the Astros and Yankees were both playing and Saturday I'm in Houston. I'm like, I'm going to hear about it, right? His team's out. My team's in. So, you know, I'll get to watch the Yankees tomorrow somehow after we get to Houston. It works out really well. It's like a 5:30 p.m. Houston time first pitch, 6:30 here in the East. So it'll be nice. I'll go out to dinner and be able to watch the Yankees and take on the Royals. That'll be a cool start. And then we'll get to Sunday's game. A huge game for the Buffalo Bills. Huge. Huge for the AFC, really, when you think about it. Take a look at the landscape in the AFC right now. I mean, this is a game that at the end of the season, could we see this as determining seeds and possibly even the one seed in the AFC? Yes. I mean, look at Kansas City, where they are or aren't right now. I mean, they are. They're 4-0. But they have a lot of issues. They have a lot of, injuries on offense. Now, they are the number one seed right now. They're 4-0. They're still very good. They have Patrick Mahomes. He's great. And Rashee Rice looks like he'll probably come back sometime this season based on some of the reporting that's going on with the fact that he's wearing a sleeve and walking around. It's probably not an ACL, but he's going to be out a while, but then he'll eventually be back. At least that's what some people are hypothesizing. We don't know. Maybe he is out for the year. And obviously, they get him back. If they get him back, Isaiah Pacheco, probably not. Marquise Brown, but either way, not as tough as it looked for maybe Rashee Rice. So the Kansas City Chiefs might be in a better spot than we thought a little while ago, but they're still in a very tough spot with all the injuries. They are the number one seed at 4-0 right now. Houston is the number two seed at 3-1. Pittsburgh 3-1, Buffalo 3-1, all four division winners, and three of them are locked at 3-1, and that includes, obviously, the Bills and the Texans. And the Bills' next two games, well, look, they've won three in a row. And I said after they beat Jacksonville, hey, it's great to be 3-0. Who knows? They could lose the next three games because they're all really tough. I didn't expect that. But here we are sitting with one loss down, 35-10 to the Ravens, and now you go to a Houston Texans team, which is very good, has a very good young quarterback. They are 3-1, and it is very possible the Bills, who are favored in this game, by the way, could come away 3-2. And now we're staring at going to the Jets on a Monday night with a 3-2 record. And the Jets, they're in London this week against the Vikings. And who knows, where they are at that point. So this is a massive game for both teams. And if you look at the Texans' schedule overall as well, Texans have some, they hit the Patriots next week. Then they have to go to Green Bay. That'll be a tough game. They get the Colts, who looked good against the Steelers last week. Jets, Lions, Cowboys, Titans, Jags, a lot of wins in there, I see, to be quite honest with you, for the Houston Texans. Like, this is a team where now you need to beat them if you want to get that leg up. Because if you both win the division and have the same record, they're going to get the tiebreaker. This is for the tiebreaker, right? You win this game, you're essentially a full game up on them when it comes down to it. So that's why this game is very important for the Bills and the Texans. But beyond that, it's just important for the Bills to get back on track. The Bills lose last week, they get blown out by the Baltimore Ravens. First time that's happened in 3 years. Bills lost a game in 2021 by 26 points. They hadn't lost by more than 7 points since then up until Sunday night. And they lose by 25 on Sunday night. We will get to Sean McDermott's weekly segment at 11 a.m., give or take, and he will give us an injury update. But let me go through right now the Barnes injury report as we know it. Brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. So there's good news and there's bad news for the Bills on the injury front. And these are the things we'll discuss with Sean McDermott. Let's start with the bad news. Still no Khalil Shakir after two practices. Will he practice today? We'll find out from Sean McDermott. Will he do anything out there? Will he be declared out, or will they say it's a game time decision? The official injury designation won't come out until later today. So Sean doesn't have to come on the radio and say whether he's out or not unless he wants to declare him out like he has other people in the past. So Khalil Shakir, 2 days missed with his ankle injury. Did not practice again yesterday. Taylor Rapp, still in concussion protocol. 2 days missed. Wednesday was off to the side working with trainers in the media open portion of practice. That was not the case yesterday. I did not see him. Doesn't mean he wasn't out there at some point. We only get to watch a certain amount of practice and then we have to leave. Austin Johnson, 2 straight days. Not as big of a loss necessarily. They did sign Zion Logue, but still a loss nonetheless of a player through 2 days at least who is in your defensive line rotation. And then, and I'm looking at the bad news, like I said. Oh, yeah, here we go. Then Ed Oliver. So Ed Oliver, let me explain what happened to that Oliver here. Ed Oliver shows up yesterday on the injury report with a hamstring as limited. Normally, for you, for me, for anybody, when you see a player who was a full participant in practice one day or nothing necessarily reported on, and then the next day is listed as limited with an injury, you generally can get to they got hurt at practice or the night before doing something, right? But generally it's they hurt at practice and left early. I'm going to tell you from Ed Oliver's situation here, what I saw yesterday, because there's important context here. Before you all freak out about Ed Oliver getting hurt at practice, I don't think that was the case necessarily. It could be. We'll see what Sean McDermott says. But what I saw yesterday was I went out to practice, and as the players were working with their individual positions, receivers over here and linebackers over there, D linemen, Ed Oliver was off to the side. He was laying down and trainers were working on his left leg. And it was just like, it looked to me like they were massaging it. They were working it out. He was laying down on his face side, on his stomach, and his, you know, that way. So working on the back side of his leg, basically. I watched it for several minutes go on while everybody was taking their reps. He got up. He was doing a little bit of work with the trainers. They were talking to him. And then he went back with his team, with his group, with his D linemen. And he jumped right into drills. I didn't see anything abnormal after that. I just watched him do drills. So later in practice, after practice, it says he's limited. The question is, which we'll get more from Sean McDermott. The question is, was he limited because of that? Or did something else happen later, which now we're thinking about today? So all of that is on the table today. We'll find out from Sean McDermott. Okay, the good news. Linebacker Terrell Bernard. At this point, I'd be surprised if he doesn't play, just from my own interpretation of what's happening here. Pectoral injury, we all thought, oh my God, thought the worst. This could be like a torn pec, just like the bicep. You're without Milano, now you're without Bernard. Then we found out it's just a strain. He's going to miss a few weeks. And sure enough, back at practice last week in a red jersey. The good news is both Wednesday and Thursday, he had a blue jersey on because the defense is wearing blue, because the offense is wearing white, because the team's wearing white this week, by the way. Bills are wearing white, all white. Bills are in all white this week at Houston. The good news is he practiced both Wednesday and Thursday. Now, they did term him limited, but he was in a blue jersey and he was doing, you know, it looked like he was on track. And he even said, you know, taking it day by day, we'll see. Also saying taking it day by day is Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson has a forearm injury. He had a red jersey on yesterday and on Wednesday. He has not, to what I've seen, he has not done anything where there's any contact involved with a bag or a sled or a person, but he is listed as limited. That seems like it's a much more of a question mark. I'd even put it more on the side of maybe I'd probably handicap it in my own mind of him being less likely to play, but McDermott may say, you know, hey, we'll see how it goes, and we'll see that today. And then finally, the good news is Deion Dawkins back at practice, obviously. Deion did miss on Wednesday due to the hamstring. He did practice yesterday in a limited capacity. He talked with the media yesterday, and he said that, you know, it hurt. He injured it. The injury happened on the first fourth down of the game when the Bills went for it. And I told you on the broadcast, I had said, and I told you all week that on the broadcast we reported, and I did it on the sidelines, he had been getting looked at on the sidelines several times when he came out of the game. Never left the game for the injury, though. So there was no official injury report there. Then he missed the practice, and now he's back. Okay, that's a lot of stuff on injuries, right? The bottom line is, you got to listen to Sean McDermott when he comes on, because we'll get a lot more information on what's happening here, and hopefully, you know, and maybe not as much as we need or want right now, but we'll get that a little bit later when the official injury report comes out. For the Houston Texans, they're also dealing with several very key injuries, including to their top two running backs. Number one, Joe Mixon with an ankle injury. He's missed the last couple of games and has not yet practiced this week. Number two, Damian Pierce with a hamstring injury. So that's, if you listen to Mark Vandermeer this morning, he joined Jeremy and Joe. You know, he talked about how they have not been able to run the ball very effectively. Mixon has been very good. He was week one. Then he got hurt pretty much in week two. He's missed the last two games. So if they don't have Joe Mixon, the Texans, that is, that's a significant loss for them. But I wonder, he could be in the same boat. We could find out today from the Texans that Joe Mixon is practicing and go from there. All right, that is your Barnes Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. A lot to get to about the game today. And, of course, about the Sabres. We are less than 3 hours from the puck dropping on the Buffalo Sabres 2024-25 season. I'm interested in your thoughts today at 803-0550. Paul Hamilton will come aboard at 10:30 a.m. I just kind of want to gauge your interest if you'd like to kind of join me on a Buffalo Football Friday. I got the permission from the boss. He said you could talk about the Sabres, too. We're going to do that today. Got the permission. It's a Buffalo Football Friday. We're going to do that. I'd like to kind of get your overall thoughts just on where you are on the Sabres right now. Are you excited? Are you not into it? What does Lindy Ruff do for you? Who are you looking at here? Like, where are you with the Sabres after what we've seen in the preseason, where they looked really good this preseason? And it wasn't just the Sabres that looked good. It was, yes, the Sabres in uniform, but the guys who were, you know, playing from Rochester, essentially, while the main club was in Europe for some preseason games. There were guys back home playing who normally would be and will be playing for the Rochester Americans. They looked good as well. It blew a lead or two, but I mean, like, they hung in and they looked good. And there were some really positive things on that front, but mostly even on the Sabres front for the team that went over to Europe, that is playing in Europe today in Prague at 1 p.m. So what we're going to do today is, when we get to the end of this show, Paul Hamilton and Pat Malacaro will take over in studio here with Brian Cozio anchoring from Prague. Brian's in Prague. That's cool. What time is it over there? Do you know what time it is in Prague right now? Do we even know that? Is it like 7 o'clock game there? Time in Prague. Here we go. I'm going to say it. I'm going to look right now. 4:19. So 7 hours ahead. So it's an 8 p.m. puck drop in Prague is what it is. Makes
sense.
It's
only 6 hours ahead, by the way.
What's that?
It's only 6 hours.
Oh, did I say eight?
You said seven.
Seven. I'm an idiot. What is it? 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, see. I did not go to Syracuse for math. I just want you to know that, okay? Or time telling. I did talk on the radio. I'm not even
great
at that, to be honest with you, but that's what I went.
Time math is hard. You go from 12 back to 1, and it just throws
you. And then
you
go to Arizona, and you don't even know if they're doing daylight savings time half the time, right? Or other parts around the country. And who's in savings time, who's not in savings time, and all that kind of stuff. Yes, they are, what did you say, 6 hours ahead.
Six.
It is 4:19, 4:20 p.m. in Prague right now. It'll be it'll be a 7 p.m. puck drop. That's why I made the mistake there. 7 p.m. puck drop, which means tomorrow, 4 p.m. Did I do my math, right? 4 p.m. puck drop for the Sabres in Prague. Where are you with the Sabres right now? What do you expect from them? Look, I'm always optimistic about this stuff. I mean, we knew that going into 2014 and 2015 and tank years and all that kind of stuff, like, I get it. Like, we all knew that the Sabres weren't going to be good and they're going to be near the bottom of the standings. Last couple of years, though, I've expected them to be better. And you could absolutely say, why would you do that, Sal? Obviously, everybody knew they'd be terrible. Whatever. You could say that, I guess. But they have tried to be better. They have had aims and expectations, especially last year, to make the playoffs. It hasn't happened in 11 seasons. 12? Was it last 11 seasons or 12? What's the official drought? We don't count this year yet, right? Last time they made it was 2011.
I think that's 13 then.
Okay, so 12, but this would be 13 this year if they didn't make it, is how it would be. All right? I think that's how you would have to count it. You have to look at that. Do the math on that for me, okay? It's wild to me that...
No, it's 13.
It is 13. They haven't made it in 13 years, right?
Right.
Oh, geez. You know what? You're right. Now I'm thinking...
Because they're tied with the Jets.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13! Going on 14. Sorry. See? Told you. Math is not with me today. But the whole point is... Yeah, right, the Jets. In football, you have 17 games and, seven out of 16 teams make it. In hockey, though, you should be making the playoffs, even lucking into it, right, over a 13-year period, a couple of times, once in a 13 years, twice. But look at where the Sabres have finished in their division. Third out of five, fifth out of five. Then they go to the eight teams, right? Watch. 8th out of 8, 8th, 7th, 8th, 8th, 6th, 6th, 8th, 5th, 5th, 6th. Folks, there are only two even times here where the Sabres have finished better than 6th, and both those are 5th. They've not even finished in 4th place or better ever in the Atlantic Division here. I mean, it just seems wild to me that that can happen in this league. But I'm optimistic. I think they have very skilled young players that I think obviously should have been better last year. They had very good goaltending last year. You hope that carries over. And maybe all the things we heard about working hard and hard practices, maybe Lindy Ruff is the kind of person to get them a little bit more to that, that elevates their game. They certainly did work on the bottom six. And I heard a caller this morning, and I agree 100%. It's not about the bottom six. You got to get your top guys going. Jeremy will say this. It's about the stars. I agree with that. But I would like to say, because I like to look at the whole picture here, I do think that if the bottom six is better, it can help elevate the top six. If you have a better group to be able to kind of let you play a little better with your bottom six and philosophically, or even just, you know, covering up for things or whatever, it allows your top six to be a little bit more offensive, a little bit more of what they do better. I think the bottom six can elevate the top six, right? It's like, it's the bottom end of your depth chart can really kind of help make the top end. That doesn't mean that you become instantly just a player that you never were before. But if Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn and those players can feel better and more free about their offensive game because of what the bottom six is helping them do when they're on the ice, then I do think they can be better. I think the Sabres can make the playoffs. It's tough, though. This is a tough division. Panthers, Bruins, Leafs, Lightning, Red Wings will be better. I think the Senators and Canadiens are probably the teams where you're like, ah. I mean, you could say that about the Red Wings, I guess. I thought the Red Wings would be a little bit better by now, even going back a few years in their build. But 0-0 today before playing the Devils. And last year, the Devils fell very, very short of expectations. It's a reason why they fired Lindy Ruff. Devils had less points than the Sabres last year. Sabres 84, Devils 81. Wild, right? All right, we got a lot on the table today. We got football. We got hockey. It is a Buffalo Football Friday with some hockey mixed in. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. All right, we'll be back in a snap. And when we do, we'll have Paul Hamilton. It is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, Paul Hamilton joins us now on the West Her Hotline. Sabres, Devils in Prague today. Paul, thank you for joining us. Paul, are the Sabres going to win today?
I have the percentages. There's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, all right. That, you know what? If you go to the betting lines, it's probably not quite 50-50, no, but I totally understand you. Paul's appearance is, of course, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Always excitement, Paul, for the first game, whether it's home, it's away. And obviously this one's a bit unique because they're in Prague. But obviously exciting to get going with another Sabres season. What's been the vibe around the team, around practice, around the organization, and obviously a lot of changes?
Well, obviously I haven't been around the team for a week. But before that, I mean, it was a lot of hard work, a lot of, you know, hey, we got to get this done in practice, but embracing it and actually even enjoying it. They dragged off the ice. I remember one practice they came off. I was standing outside the room waiting to get in, and they were just dragging. And they asked the PR people if they could have like 15, 20 minutes. They were so dead, they wanted to rest up before they talked to the media.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, and they're always good about it. I mean, on a practice day, I don't care if they need 15, 20 minutes to compose themselves. Doesn't matter to me. But it was just funny how, you know, that's how hard they're working and how much they're putting into it.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Her Hotline as the Sabres prepare for the Devils today and tomorrow. That's interesting, right, and unique, Paul. They're going to have two games in less than 24 hours apart. How do they manage that from your perspective? Does it matter because it's so early in the season, especially when it comes to goaltending? But just overall, ice time, do you look to tomorrow when you're thinking about today?
Normally, yes. This time, you're right, it's the beginning of the year. They haven't had a game since the game in Germany. It's been a week. No, I don't think it, in this particular case, I don't think it matters. You know, you don't travel in between games. Like when we did Finland, Germany, they played in Finland on Friday and in Berlin, Germany on Saturday. That was crazy. By the way, the Sabres won both those games against the Ducks and the Kings. Had a great start, played very well, had a great start to the season, but this is, it's still part of the drought. They didn't make the playoffs because they had a horrible, it was either November or December, just horrible, where they just totally collapsed, and that was the end of their year. But there was a lot of hope, you know, in the beginning of the year, you know, because they won those two games. They were looking good, and they won them looking good. It wasn't just like they were lucky to win, and there was a lot of hope in the team by winning those two games. But Lindy Ruff would like to see, because he was the coach back then too, he would like to see a similar start right here.
I heard you on with the guys a little bit earlier, and you guys were talking about bottom six, top six, what's needed, and you were talking about the stars, the guys who are goal scorers, need to produce, and they need to be better. There's no doubt about that. They have improved the bottom six. I want to get connected with our fans here. I want to read you this from Jam, who tweets in at Sal Sports. He says, I feel that if the bottom six can produce better than what we've had in the past, Lee Pashers, that's five more wins. I'm happy we have a better bottom six. The top six will be fine. 2 years ago, with better goalies and a bottom six, we would have made it. Thank you very much. That's getting connected with our fans. And, of course, getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. What I said was the bottom six can kind of help the top six get better. How do you see where the top six is and needs to grow versus where the bottom six is and pushing them to grow?
Well, a guy like Thompson, if he gets back to 20 power play goals instead of 9, There's 11 goals right there. He goes from 29 to 40 if he does that last mm-hmm. year. That was the drop-off on the power play. So the top six guys will all be better. The regression will end if the power play is better again. If the power play gets back to where it was with basically the same guys, it's not like it's a big, the same guys went from most of the season being in the top three in the power play to the bottom, almost the bottom in the power play because, the other team said, well, Tage Thompson's not going to beat us. And the Sabres said, but we're going to keep passing to him and see if we can get the one timer, even though you're taking it away from us. Didn't work. And Granato didn't do anything really to change it, at least in the players' minds. I mean, he can't go out and play for them, but he might have tried to change it in the room, but the players didn't change it. They just kept trying to force feed. There was no plan B, and they didn't have a power play. So all the top six will basically get better if the power play gets better and back to where it needs to be. Jack Quinn can help out the top six if he can stay healthy, because I firmly believe he's a 30-goal scorer if he can stay healthy. So, and then you go to the bottom six. I always say if I can get double-figure goals out of guys in my bottom six, I'm good. I think at least Greenway and Zucker can get there for you. We'll see about McLeod, who still, I think, has room to grow. He's a young player still, so... I think still there's more upside to him. And Lafferty is capable of scoring some goals. I don't know about Malenstein and Abe Cabell. I don't know if they're going to get to double figures and produce that way. But at least you've got three guys, I think, for sure that can get around double figures, and a fourth that maybe can. And the other two are basically going to fill a role that the Sabres desperately need.
All right, Paul, I'm very interested in this power play discussion. I'm looking up the stats as you're talking. I've only gone back the last four seasons. They were over 20% and even 23% 2 years ago, which was top 10 in the league. They're 16.6% last year, which was near the bottom. Pittsburgh was actually worse, which is kind of weird, too, with Crosby and those guys. But they were I know some of this is kind of puck luck. I get it. What was the reason for this drop-off? Is that just bad luck? Because you go from 20 to 21 to 23 to less than 17.
No, it was simple. Tage Thompson, I don't know why teams let him have a full season over in that dot. They never took him away. And he scored 20 power play goals, is ripping it from that dot. And then last year they said, well, no, we're going to take him away. If you want to try something else and see if the other four guys can beat us. Sabres didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep feeding a covered Tage Thompson. They were taking the passing lane away, so Dahlin would try to get it over there. The puck would get picked off. How many shorthanded breakaways and goals did we get to watch? Because they're trying to force plays to Thompson. And there was no plan B. Nobody was in the other dot. It was just like, and the other thing is, they didn't work hard enough. It was... get one opportunity, and the puck goes down the ice. Well, one of the things Seth Appert was talking about this the other day, one of the things you're trying to do as a power play is to wear out the penalty killers. How do you wear them out? Keep them on the ice. If they just – you have one opportunity, they clear the puck, they get to go change.
Mm-hmm.
If you work hard in those battles along the wall to retain possession of the puck – now you're going to get penalty killers who are out there longer than they want to be out there. They get tired. And in any sport, if you get fatigued athletes, you get mistakes. And that's what you're trying to do. Now maybe you can get some chaos out there on your power play. And if you're willing to battle in front of the net, it took 5 seconds for them to score a power play goal in the preseason. Why? They won the draw, first of all, which is something they don't do. They got it back to the point, threw it over to Quinn. Three guys went to the net. Usually there was maybe one guy there. Three guys went to the net. Quinn shoots it. Paterka tips it in. That all took 5 seconds. It took them 5 seconds to execute what the coaches are trying to get them to execute. So that's how you're going to improve the power play. And a lot of it, the key part of it that maybe people don't think of, is keep the penalty killers on the ice. If you can keep them out there for 2 minutes, that's great. Even if you're passing the puck around a little bit, you're keeping them out there moving, and then you can try to capitalize on them being fatigued.
Paul, just before you went on, I got an alert. I'm sure you did too. The Sabres have loaned defenseman Ryan Johnson to the Rochester Americans. This expected from your standpoint? And can you kind of just walk through any roster decisions that we're kind of looking at as far as guys in or out over the next day in two games, I should say?
Yeah, no, that was just because he was nursing a lower body injury.
Okay, yep.
So they couldn't send him down until he was, I don't know if you want to say healthy, but
yeah,
maybe healthy enough to practice. So that's why he didn't go down with the rest of them.
Okay.
Kozak was the same way. He went down yesterday. He had gotten hurt in the Prospects Challenge. So that's why those guys were a little bit late being sent down. It's interesting, the Devils, I don't think it's fair, to be quite honest with you, that the Devils and Sabres get to have 27 guys on their roster until Monday. Monday is roster cutdown day, and they're going to get two games in. Now, I don't think they should have to send four guys actually to Rochester, but they should have to be down to 23 guys. And then, you know, you've got the other four there. So if somebody gets hurt on Friday, you've got the guys there. You can call them up and let them play. So I don't think it's fair to the other teams that the Sabres and Devils get to have 27 guys on their roster for this. But that's the way it is. Roster decisions have to be made by Monday. Have to be down to 23. And I think it's rather obvious. We've seen what's going to happen. You know, Reimer, Kulik, Clegg. You know, those are the guys, and Rusick, those are the guys that wind up going down once they get back from Czechia. I always want to say the Czech Republic. I caught myself there.
they're not in the Czech Republic? No, that's
it's
right.
Czechia.
That's right. It's the Czechia. One last thing before I let you go, and we'll get to a break here, and then you'll be on the Steve Foley Law pregame show with Pat and Brian just a little over an hour from now. Goaltending. Is it back-to-back here? I mean, do we expect two different goalies? How do you expect that to shake out? And what are we looking at from the Devils' side?
I would go with Luukkonen in both games if it were me, unless he gets like 55 shots in the first game or something like that. It's the first two games of the year. He's raring to go. I would use him for both. I doubt that is their plan. I think their plan is to use both goaltenders. Unless Luukkonen has like a 28-save shutout, and they want to just capitalize on that, let them go in the next game, maybe that could change their minds. But right now, going into the game, my guess, and Lindy Ruff's not really going to tell us his goaltending plan along the way. It's not his style.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is their plan is to use both goaltenders in these two games.
Markstrom, you would think for the Devils, right?
Markstrom for the Devils. And the Devils have two key injuries on defense, Luke Hughes and Brett Pesce. Those are two huge parts of their defense, are both injured and will not be playing. So that's an advantage for the Sabres there, that already the Devils come into this game. Now they get Dougie Hamilton back, who missed most of last year. 6'6", big offensive defenseman. You better be on your P's and Q's when he's out there, because he produces offense. So he's back. They didn't have him for most of last year, but not having Luke Hughes and Brett Pesce is key for the Devils.
Paul, we will hear from you in a little over an hour, and then a lot more coming up because it is Buffalo Sabre season. Enjoy today. Enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up soon, buddy. We'll be listening.
So much looking forward to it. Take care.
Me too, buddy. That is Paul Hamilton at PHAM1717, of course, WGR550.com. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll set you up for Sean McDermott coming your way here at the top of the hour for his weekly radio segment on WGR on the Extra Point Show. How are you consuming the game today there, Joshua?
I will be watching it with my dad at our house around puck drop. Hopefully I can get home in time, but I think I'll be good.
I haven't decided yet. We have a little work thing that we can take part in here, that some gathering for some employees here and kind of celebrate. And, you know, it's a Friday, watch the game together. We have that. But I'm also going out to dinner tonight with my parents, my family. So I'm like, man, if I go out and do that and I eat, and I'm like, you know. So and I also could, you know, just go home and kind of watch it and by myself at the TV and go, okay, I just kind of got to be in a space here. I'm conflicted. I don't know.
That's when you have just like light snacking, right?
I mean, I got to probably do that.
Depending on what time you go to dinner, you can you can have lunch at one, you know.
It's what not, are you What are you wearing? You got a jersey on.
They got the white goat head on. Yeah. Nobody on the back, but still.
Oh, it's a blank.
Classic. Yeah.
I realize that. It's a blank one. The only goat head I ever owned was a white goat head of Curtis Brown.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was great.
I love that they brought back the black goat head, but part of me really wishes they would have brought back the white one. Yeah. Just the white one, I think, just pops
it's pretty,
more.
Yeah, it's pretty... I'm not a big fan of the goat head anyway. I love the, like, I know that it's nostalgic, and I get, like, okay, what are they wearing, 15 times this year? Something like that now?
Yes.
Right? Yep. And that's cool. Like, I'm not against it. I think it's great for fans. It's a very, really important era of Sabres hockey for a lot of people. There's no doubt about that. But, man, I'm a blue and gold guy for the Sabres. I just love that. That's what I grew up with, right? Some of you grew up with black and red probably.
Right. Yeah.
I grew up with blue
and
gold.
My first memories. Right. I mean, my first jersey was a black and red Chetan jersey.
Right.
That's,
so,
you know.
I last night before Max went to bed, I said, all right, Sabres tomorrow. You normally he'll wear a Bills jersey on a Friday to school. I'm like, wear Sabres tomorrow, right? Sabres first game, totally cool. What do you want? So he has a white Dylan Cousins, a blue J.J. Paterka, and a black goat head Owen Power.
Oof.
What do you think he chose?
Paterka.
He chose the black Owen Power.
Wow. All right.
So
it's a good pick.
So he's rocking at school.
The first time they're wearing it this year, October 26th against the Red Wings at 1 p.m. I'm assuming it's a Saturday game.
Yes, Saturday. I believe that is the case. There's a few afternoon games. There's a couple holidays and things like that that are coming up this month and into next month. We're going to have Sean McDermott for his weekly radio appearance at the top of the hour. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break just a minute or two earlier than we normally do at this time, because in case, you know, Coach calls a little bit early, don't want to keep him waiting on hold too long and want to get that with you and to you as soon as possible. But keep your head and ears and everything on a swivel here. It's going to be coming up soon, and we have a very important injury update from Sean McDermott that we'll be asking about here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday with hockey as well. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash. Call Salino. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott and his weekly appearance on WGR on the Extra Point Show up next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.